Greetings. You're now listening to the most handsome and intellectually superior specimens on Earth. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Starts now.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, whatever time of day it is where you are. We hope that you are doing well. Welcome to I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It. My name is Fresh, and we're thrilled to have the opportunity to bring you today's show. Before we get into the show, I'd like to remind you that if you like what you hear, please go to iTunes and rate our podcast and leave us a comment or two. You can connect with us on our social media platforms as well on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at ICBW Podcast. That's ICBW Podcast. Be sure to like, comment, and follow. You can also check out our website at ICBWPodcast.com. And check this out. For the rest of the year, we're still picking a random listener who's left a comment and rated us on iTunes or connected with us on our social media platforms and shared our content. The winner is going to get one of our t-shirts and some of the merchandise and a prize pack. I know you're going to love it. People are loving it thus far. You are definitely going to be able to use everything that I'm giving you. I will not give you shit that you cannot use. Now, without further delay, let's get into the show. Let's get it rolling. Once again, I'd like to introduce my partner, who is... What are you today, man? Are you 100 black here, men?
Man. What
are
you like? You, man, I'm here, brother.
So what you got? What's your affiliation? 100 black men of Charlotte, right?
No, not of Charlotte.
Not of Charlotte, but of
Oklahoma. Upstate South Carolina.
Upstate South
Carolina.
I forgot about Sparkle City. I'm sorry.
Yeah, man. Sparkle
City. So what else you got? I mean, you know, we didn't get to a lot of that stuff in the last time. So what else you got, man? You a mentor?
Man, you know, I just try to keep it real, man. I'm a part of the 100 black men of the Upstate South Carolina. I'm an alpha. I'm a mason. I'm a Natarian, brother. Look that up. And, you know, I just try to keep it real, man. Just trying to do some things. Stay constructive, man.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. So, man, we appreciate you having the time today to sit with us, my Natarian brother.
Can't even say.
I can't even say it. But, yeah, man, we want to go ahead and get into the show, man. Appreciate you guys checking us out once again, as always. Today's show... It might be emotional. It might be controversial, depending on how you look at it, depending on what your experience is, depending on what your current situation is, depending on what your upbringing is. It may affect you in a lot of different ways. So I do not know.
Uh-oh.
One black person that does not have an opinion about what we're about to talk about today. Not one. As a matter of fact, I don't know one person that doesn't have some type of opinion about what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to talk about the N-word.
Drum roll. Nigga.
So, yeah, we're going to talk about that today because it's still a discussion, sadly, that needs to be had. And until I really started thinking about what the word means to me, I was honestly really kind of flipping about it. You know, I would always joke that, I call 15 people nigga before I even sat down at my desk. You know what I'm saying? Not that that was necessarily true, but, you know, I was really, you know, profuse with my usage and, you know, very, very loose with it. Over time, though, I've definitely tried to pull back.
You evolved.
Yeah, you evolved a little bit. You can say that. I've definitely evolved. I try not to use it at all in cyberspace, on any of my social media, unless I'm in a closed group amongst vetted individuals in that group. Shout out to POV on Facebook. No trolls getting in there. No trolls getting in there. Everybody's vetted. So I'll use it on occasion there. But I've really grown to a point where it's kind of become unnecessary. But it does slip out from time to time. And, you know, we just kind of want to talk about it and get everybody's mind focused on it just for a second. Because I think at some point there is going to have to be some reconciliation as to whether or not we want to continue to use it or not. Because it's getting dangerous on a lot of different fronts, whether you want to talk about interaction amongst each other, interaction amongst Caucasians and other races, interactions with police. And so you have to kind of think, does my use of this contribute to any of the perceptions that are out there about me? Not that it should matter. Let me make that clear. Some of the bullshit that happens out here, it shouldn't matter what we call ourselves. But, you know, you really need to think about it. Really need to think about it. So we're going to go ahead and get into it. And the first question that I want to pose, and then I'll let Reg come on in here with his infinite expertise and wisdom on the subject.
You've been a nigga longer than me. If you call yourself a nigga.
I actually don't, man. Okay. I mean, okay. I used to, you know.
You've been on Earth longer than I have. Yeah, so I mean, experience, you've probably seen crosses burn in your front yard.
No,
didn't you march with you marched with King?
Man, I'm don't let the sure gray beard fool you, player. Let the gray
it's
beard
white.
Fool
it's
you.
It's not
man.
Gray, brother.
Okay.
Just call it white.
We call it what it is, right? But no, seriously though, man. I haven't been exposed to that type of overt racism, but I'm a product of that. You know, the generations directly before me had to deal with that. The generations, two generations ago, had to deal with even worse. As a matter of fact, my generation, which is going to include, I'll put in my uncle, who was born in 67. We're pretty much the start of our, you know, people being born into our family that had our full constitutional rights, you know, save for the, you know, open prejudice and other bullshit and other legislation that has totally economically destroyed the black community. But anyway, that's another show.
Right.
But yeah, constitutionally speaking, you know, I'm the first generation in my family to be born with every right that is supposed to ensure that I get a fair shot in every endeavor that I partake in, without bias, you know, without prejudice, without
civil
know, racist
rights.
Attitudes. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, and that's really something when you think about it. But not to get too far off, but we want to ask today, why do we continue to use this word? So, Rez, give me some reasons why. You shoot nigga out of your mouth like a machine gun.
Well, I think just like, well, first of all, I don't do that. I see how you slip that in. But I think it's sort of ingrained into all of us in some form or fashion. You know, I grew up in a household that used it occasionally, that really used it how I think we should use it now, which is keep it in the house, keep it amongst us folk, right? And, they didn't use it. My parents and, you know, family members didn't really, they knew when to watch their mouths, when not to say, you know, how to act in public. And they didn't act ignorant in public. But I grew up listening to the word. I grew up listening to my father play Richard Pryor, who was nigga this, nigga that. I saw the Dick Gregory's book, self-entitled Nigger, if you will. I think that was somewhat of an autobiography piece. I saw that on the on the shelf at home. So the word has is really a part of me in terms of it's ingrained in, inside of me, if you will. It's part of our culture. Going back to when I was born till now, it's part of the culture. It's just, it's changed. So that's why I use it.
Let me ask you this though, man. Real talk though. Why is it still part of our culture? Do you think that there was a point where we just really stopped giving a fuck about it and just said, hey, look, we're just going to take it and we're going to try to own it? Was there...
Well, we did own it.
I mean, was there a mass memo that was sent out? I mean, what was the point? I mean, where was the point? Because historically, I'm ignorant of that particular fact. I mean, was there a movement at some point that said, hey, look, we're going to call ourselves this shit and it doesn't really matter? Because to me, being culturally prevalent or not, when I logically think about it, it doesn't make sense.
I got you.
So what do you know? What do you know about that? I mean, do have your parents, you know, give you any type of background on that or anything like
that? Well, no, I haven't had that conversation per se with my parents. Not really with many people. It's just some things that I've learned and some nuggets that I picked up along the way. What I've learned about the history of that word. Shout out to Master Teacher Kaba Kamene, who teaches a lot, has had a few lessons about that word. He's an African historian, and I sort of get into African history myself. So let me take you on a brief ride real quick from what I know and understand it from a historical viewpoint. Like everything else, different cultures took upon themselves to take, steal, appropriate, whatever word you want to use, black culture, African culture. Many years ago, within the Merunetcher language and vernacular of our ancient African Kemites, in other parts of that region, such as Nubia and Kush, there was a word called Ngar, N-G-R. A lot of words during those ancient times, prehistoric times, had just consonants. There weren't any vowels. You make sounds. Ngar. And Ngar was a word that meant God or divine. If I called you Ngar, that was a compliment. I was basically saying, hey, you're a brother of higher conscious. You're godlike, so on and so forth. So that word was a beautiful word. It was a positive word, that was a part of that language at that time. There, if you substitute the G for a T, you get Netter. Or Netir, depending on how you say it, which means the same thing. A lot of words were, or letters were, interchangeable. And from Netir comes nature, okay? And that divine connection with all things. So Ngar, people say it a lot more sophisticated than I can. Moving forward, becomes Nig, Nag, Nug. Moving forward becomes Necro, Negro, which the Spaniards called the Moors Negroes. That's how we got Negro, is that the Spaniards called the Moors of that time, and which meant black. That's another thing. Ngar also means black. Because why? At that time, that's all there was, brother. It was black people on the planet. It was black people in a particular region of the world, and that's what they call themselves. So if I call you Ngar, and that means something divine, and you're black, it also means black. What is that? A equals B equals C. So that's just a small piece there, but it wasn't until slave trades that happened, right? Black people were oppressed. The whole race construct was created. Race was created by white people, white supremacists. We didn't really have race as we know it now by color. That's what racism is.
Definitely social. Definitely social.
Right. And that's what it is. And so you now have a racial construct where black people are mistreated and oppressed. And I have this word Negro, which, you know, you add a few vowels here and there, you end up saying nigger, which really came from, guess where? Britain. All right. Britain and France or whatever. And, you know, for your royal wedding lovers out there.
Man, please do not get me started on that bullshit.
Right.
Do not get me started. Please.
So you move forward, you call a nigger, and you're in an oppressive state. So that's a small chronology from what I know as maybe where it came from. It came from a positive thing. Just knowing what I know, what I've learned, picked up from a few African historians, to negative. Now, why do we use it? Just
because, you know what, man? I doubt that there is more than half, I would even say a quarter of a percent of black people that know what you just talked about. So,
right, I mean, go look it up.
I know what you're talking about, but what I'm saying is that when we talk about the continued use of it,
right?
I'm thinking that if we knew that, I think it may be a little different, or maybe it'd be framed a little differently.
Sure.
But absent of the knowledge that you just gave us, why do we still use it?
Well, it goes to what I said at the beginning. It's a part of the culture. Culture is about what you do. You can tag a lot of things about culture. Culture is what you do, your lifestyle, what you eat. What you ate today is your culture. What you wearing, what you're wearing, the clothes you're wearing today is your culture. What you're driving is your culture. You fly across the world right now, your culture might change. So it's it's individual as well, but it's part of our culture here in the Northwestern Hemisphere as descendants of slaves to be in a position that our ancestors were stripped of everything, of their name, of their language, of what they knew life was. So if they were stripped and they heard every day, just think about it. You don't have to go that far back. You can go 150 years back and say, you know what? On a plantation somewhere, somebody's heard nigger every damn day of their life. In a very demeaning way to them. So in their, using the word vernacular, in their vocabulary every day may be nigger. They may even look and call their newborn babies, I got a little nigger baby. It's just, you take on the attitude, you take on the behaviors of your slave owners. So it's...
Which explains a lot of the misogyny and other things that are prevalent in our hip hop music. Another show for another day, though.
Exactly. And it would be a nice tie-in to a hip hop show. Maybe when we do a preview, album preview. But that, I think that's why it is. And going into maybe why, okay, if you say, Reg, I don't really know the information you just shared, I don't know if I believe it. I don't know if I've never heard that. Here in 2018, we know that it's a word that's very demeaning. So why are we using demeaning words to each other? And so I think it is, like many other things, coming out of a situation that we've had, that our ancestors experienced in this country specifically, there are things that we just end up doing. All right. I think it was Dr. Joy DeGry that has said that we are going through a period of we have post-traumatic slave syndrome.
I believe that wholeheartedly.
Which basically we've never, since 1865, we've never had any help, any psychology given to us, no therapy. Just think about your folks that came out of slavery and what type of conditions they're going into. You just don't automatically, you're not given your 40 acres and a mule that was promised, by the way, we never got. You go, there are conditions that I can't even imagine, you know, mentally, that a black man is dealt with, a black woman. How do I go forward? And so I say all that to say,
thus generational curses.
Exactly. Exactly. Things are passed on, and within a certain culture, that's just how it is. And I think that I'm on the fence with the word personally in terms of using it. I think that we should maybe use it very carefully amongst, if we use it with each other, we use it with each other. I personally do not condone anyone else using that word. That's just me. I'm not even gonna say out of respect. It goes beyond that.
Well, but it's funny that you would mention that, because when you talk about using it, in the same company and not mixed company, you don't, or at least I don't see Jewish folks calling each other kikes, or, we don't see Asian folks calling each other chinks, or, anything like that.
Or at least they don't say it in
publicly, right, in mixed company.
If they do.
And I wonder, why is our psychology so different? I have an idea, and I'm going to put this out here. I think our psychology is so different, especially within the past 25 to 30 years, coinciding with the exponential growth of our hip hop culture and other mediums. And this is not to blame hip hop for everything. Again, that's going to be a totally different show. But I think that once white folks figured out that they could actually capitalize on it.
Yes.
When they were like, hey, look, we can pay this nigga $1 million to say this. We can sell that record and make $50 million. And so I really believe that once white people figured out that they could profit off of our misery still.
Right.
Still.
I mean,
and we're so happy to get the crumbs that we don't give a damn about anything else.
Right. The butter biscuits.
Exactly. The butter biscuits. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's all we want, man. That's all we want. And that is, and I hate to keep saying this another show for another day, but it truly is the psychology. I even took a class. Don't know if you know it or not, but I do have a minor in African studies as well from the university I graduated from.
White professors?
No, actually they were all African.
Okay.
Except for one who's a real good mentor to me. He's actually brother. He's an alpha too, but yeah, and he's actually a professor at another HBCU in the local area as well. But I took a class that was called The Psychology of the Black Experience, and it pretty much broke down the trauma and the results and how it manifests itself today. And I think that the overuse of that particular word, it really speaks to the type of trauma still after centuries. It really does.
It sure does.
And it's it's saddening in a way, but on the flip side, and I told you I was conflicted from the jump, it shows our resilience. I mean, we are so resilient. We will take anything and flip that shit. Yeah. But, you know, but sometimes we get so used to the improvisational nature of our circumstances that we don't have the vision or the wherewithal to guide ourselves to what is actually best for us, because we just want to survive.
Right.
So I guess what I'm saying at this particular point is I think that we should govern ourselves a little bit more, no matter what the monetary consequences are. You know, and we're talking about things within several multimedia outlets that where the word is used freely, like buddy. You know, yeah. We really need to tighten this shit up.
Sometimes you don't know what you don't know, and through everything there's a level of education where somebody needs to tell someone. So if you know something, or if you feel a certain way, not you, I'm just you in general,
mm-hmm.
tell someone, share or educate someone about something that may be of constructive value. Say, for instance, if I hate to see brothers wearing their pants down, sagging, right?
I hate that shit too. Right now, if you are wearing your pants,
Pull that shit up,
you little sloppy motherfucker.
I mean, damn.
Pull it up.
And so, sort of equating that, it's almost like a laziness. I can hear some of my aunts say, don't say nigga. That makes you seem like you lazy, or you don't have any common, you know, no home training, no, you know, like your vocabulary is short.
Right. But you know what's funny though, man? I have people like that in my family too, but they'd be the first ones to call you nigga though. You
know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, pull.
Well, you know,
yeah.
That'd be the first
ones.
What
the hell are you talking about, nigga?
Hey, man, let me tell you about my grandmother real quick, man.
Yeah.
God rest her soul. You know, I wish I had the rest of my family on here to back me up, because they know that what I'm saying is absolute truth. You know, we got called all kind of things outside of our name. You know, and it was that was kind of the culture that we grew up in. You know, my grandmother would call me motherfucker before she would call me by my first name.
There's a history to that word too.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, it's and I'm saying that to speak to what you're saying about the culture.
Mm-hmm.
I am 100%, 110% sure that my use of profanity is because of my upbringing.
Yeah,
it's because of my upbringing, man. So
yeah, you drop a few bombs.
Yeah, I will.
You drop a few bombs there.
Yeah, I will. But I'm speaking to what you were saying as far as it being prevalent within the culture. But to your second point, when you're saying that once you know, we should do better, and that's my only point. That's really my only point.
That's what anything.
We know what our circumstances are, man. And this is the thing. We know what our circumstances are. So we should get to a point where we try to better those circumstances. And if it means tapering the use of a word that historically has a negative connotation as it refers to us, the pride shouldn't be wrapped up in the fact that we can flip it and make it something that we use in the everyday language. To me, that's nothing to really be proud of in the long term.
So if you continue to use the word, can we not rise even with the word? Individually, as a people, I mean, like, will it honestly hold us back if we continue to use the word nigga?
Man, to be honest with you, Reg, man, I really think that it does. I really think that it does. And I hate to keep going back to music. And there are going to be a lot of people that disagree with me when I say this. But the pervasive use of that particular word, the word nigga, along with other things that are wrapped in misogyny, you know, calling women bitches and hoes and you know, thoughts or whatever the case, whatever you want to say, when you put those things out there over generations, it affects generations. So it's not something that's going to be fixed today, tomorrow, even 5 years from now. But at this particular point, I believe we need to have the foresight to say that, hey, if we change this now, mm-hmm. my kids are going to be in a better place. We're going to be in a better place as a whole. Yes, we can still rise without it, to answer your question succinctly. We can. But why degrade ourselves in the process?
But am I really degrading you if I say, what's up, my nigga? The energy behind what I'm saying, and a lot of people have this.
I understand it.
A lot of people have that excuse.
Yeah, I get that.
It's almost like going back to what I said in ancient times. If the word is meant, it's a little different then. But if the word was positive, is coming out of me positively towards you with good vibrations, good frequencies. And you receive it as such. If you don't say, wait, well, hold, brother, don't say that word around me, then now I have to give you that courtesy. But if you receive it and we break bread and we're in good company, what has it really done between me and you and the next guy, and so on and so forth?
It does nothing. And that's not my larger point. My larger point is when we go to use it in large mediums.
Gotcha.
Again, I said previously, I don't see any other groups of people using slurs to make gain, you know? If anybody's listening to this and has something historical or current that you can lead me to that shows where other groups of people are using slurs to make money, let me know.
And what if they are? How does that change our plight as a people? You know, if Jews just start calling each other kites and, you know, whatever they call each other, you know, we're called in a derogatory way. How's that going to help black people? They already own the shit.
Well,
they own the entertainment you're talking about. They run it, so they can say whatever they want.
But they don't. That's my point, Rich.
I know.
That's
but my if point. They don't. Then what?
My point is that they have enough motherfucking pride not to do it.
Pride, or they just don't have to. We don't have to. All right, here's the whole choice thing going off of the whole slavery was a choice stuff here recently. But we have a choice to do. I know exactly, you know, where you're going with it. If I'm a hip hop artist, and you know, my record company is telling me, man, we need some more niggas in these lyrics. Come on, niggas.
But you know what?
Niggas with attitudes, niggas. You know, right?
How do you know that shit? I'm willing to put some money that shit actually happens.
That's why
you don't have conscious rap with millions of streams or going platinum or double platinum anymore.
Right. It's because those who distribute it and push it, like, whoa, it's not enough degrading shit here. It's not enough. So when they can control it, or they say, hey, these guys are using the N-word all over the place, yeah, I'm going to they pouring liquor, they calling you know, women bitches and et cetera, et cetera. That's what I want. I want them to stay in that realm. Don't try to educate nobody. Don't empower anybody. Y'all have
right,
fun.
Right.
Let's pop some bottles. Get it crunk.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
So what about white people?
What about the motherfuckers?
Come on now. For those listening, we love everyone. We don't hate anyone. All right, I speak for myself. I don't hate anyone.
And I don't hate anybody either.
So I take that. I will readdress that. What about white people using the N-word, period? What is your take on that, sir?
You know, I think it is okay, you want a long answer or short answer?
I want the truth, brother.
Okay, this is the truth. My Caucasian friends, please listen up.
Good boy.
If you want to find out how much of your blood type is in reserve, say the word nigga. If you want to use your emergency room benefits in your health plan, say the word nigga. If you want to get a mud hole stomped in your ass,
say the word nigga.
The word nigga. And your wish will come true.
So, that's another small, just here's a sub piece of what we talked about earlier that I meant to bring up, is about emotions. If it's so much a part of our culture, why is it that we get quickly, almost immediately, emotional from the word?
You know what? I'm glad that you asked that. And this ties into exactly what I've been saying this whole time. It's because it hits your pride and it hits your emotions in a way that makes you feel degraded. The fact that someone would have the audacity to use that word in a way that makes them seem like they have some sort of superiority over you, it creates a visceral reaction. That's why we get emotional. And that's the exact fucking reason why we need to stop saying it ourselves. It needs to be eliminated.
Okay. I received that.
I know you don't agree, man.
No, I receive that. I agree with it. In terms of, well,
why have the conflict of emotions there? I mean, see, emotions make sense.
I mean, individually, we have to. I think that we should detach ourselves from things that knowingly bring us down. Right? If somebody, it's the old sticks and stones may break my bones, but words would never hurt me type of fifth grade stuff. What is it that really, truly, words that we hear that really get to us? Is it in the white supremacy handbook that says, hey, the more that we put nigga in books, in music, in all this, the more we say it, we already know it's in their blood, that when they hear it, they're going to go ballistic. Hey, if we say it enough, if we put it out there enough, that gives us more reason to arrest them, you know, to fight back, to take them to court, whatever. Anything, you know, anytime you know you have something on somebody emotionally, it could be your spouse, it could be your brother, your sister, whomever, your buddy. I know how to touch his wrong buttons. You know, I know how to get to him. Just say the word nigga. Just say whatever. And they're going to go crazy. You know?
It
is what it is. I'm not saying that I would just be the most docile person.
I mean, if I'm out at dinner. About to say, I'm like, let somebody roll up on you. and just be like, you know, let some white person roll up on you and say, hey, what's up, nigga?
And you know what? You know what I would want to say? I'm not going to say what I would say because I don't know at that particular point. What I feel that I should say is, excuse me, what did you call me? Nigga. Right? Okay, what do you mean by nigga? Why? What are you calling me a nigga for?
You really going to have this kind of motherfucking conversation with somebody?
Okay.
For real?
Okay, on a previous episode, I said, and I agree, Brother Neely Fuller, most logical man I know.
I know.
He says, and just think it, just logically, everything can be resolved or solved by Q&A, mm-hmm. right? Now, who in their right mind, like, again, in our culture...
What, you got Siri over there saying, man. I don't know the word, nigga.
Yeah.
Siri smart. She don't want to get smacked.
Siri's like, I'm going to not be a part of this conversation. But basically, what the fuck was I saying? Oh, if I'm Q&A, right? See, you get me off my cue here.
Oh, man, that's your phone.
Q&A, in a perfect world, if you're out and about, and a white guy or a girl calls you a nigger, and you say, what do you mean by nigger? You know what? Have we ever asked that? Is there any video footage, camera footage somewhere on YouTube or WorldStar, whatever, that shows that dialogue that said, excuse me, what do you mean by that? Society, right? Culture says, black man, you need to react. You need to react to that.
True. Yeah.
Right?
I can see that.
And so I bet you if you ask, hey, what do you mean by that? I called you a nigger. Okay, well, what are you telling me? Now, and allow him or her to respond. Well, I think I'm calling you a nigger because of X, Y, and Z, because... you got my parking space outside. Okay. Now what? If he wants to be aggressive, you got to protect yourself. Right? You see what I'm saying? I mean, like, you throw patience and logic, you bundle that up and put it in anyone's face, and just see what they say.
But that doesn't feel good, Reg.
Right, it's not. But what is
hands
it that feels?
Around did, the throat did, feel better.
There's so much we can accomplish. This episode can be about any word that makes you upset. Any controversial word.
Yeah.
So if you go out, I mean, again, it can be a black person. Hey, man, don't call me a nigga. What are you talking about? Man, I'm about to bust.
Right.
I mean, it just depends on the person.
Right.
But I'm just saying, for those who may want a gentle, more gentle approach to handling that, handle it with Q&A. Just see. Just try it and see. I mean, you know, if your emotions kick in or whatever,
I got it.
You know? Now, it would be different if... Now, that's me at a bar somewhere, right? Or at just somewhere in public, right? Now, what if someone walked up to your wife, to your husband, to a loved one, to your child, and said, move out the way, little nigger. It'd be very difficult to remain calm in those circumstances, because now, as a man, you want that, you have that responsibility. I have my protective wings have come out now to maybe thrash on your ass.
So, I wholeheartedly agree, man. You know, it's everything has situational context. And when faced with an action that has to have an immediate response, especially when there is involvement of people that are unusually vulnerable, like kids and things of that nature, you're going to react a little different.
Yeah.
You know, that conversation that you want me to have, that Q&A, you know, as a matter of fact, I'm going to file that shit up under conversations that I probably will never have with anybody white. Okay. Because I think that the white people that I do hang around, they already know how I feel.
They know.
They know. So I'm hopeful. And I say that because I'm hopeful that they have enough respect not to say that and would not put me in a position to where I would have to choke the shit out of one of their buddies. You know?
True.
Because I do tell the white people that I honestly call myself friends with. I tell them, your silence is complicity. Mm-hmm. And if we're ever in a situation where I do have to defend myself and you're silent, I'm fucking you up too. That's just how it goes.
So I bet you don't hang out with many white folks. Man, since you put that on the line.
Man, let me tell you, man.
I ain't hanging out with that dude.
I hang out with white folks all the time, man. I do. Because I'm unapologetically me. I let them be them. And I happen to have what I think are decent friends. Right. Because we can have open dialogue. And it never really gets heated. And I don't know if it's because they're like, man, you know, Fresh is a crazy motherfucker.
They calling you in there.
So, you know, I don't know. I don't know if it's because of that, but I've had my own Q&A about that.
Sure.
And there's one friend of mine, and he has the whitest name on earth. Shout out to Adam. Adam is like, I have no right to use the word. It's not even a conversation that I need to have. I know where I stand with it. I don't have to say it. I don't have the right to say it. End of discussion.
It's good.
I'm like,
smart guy.
I'm like, that's what's up. But at the same time, this guy, as a matter of fact, I got to get Adam on the podcast because this dude is a smart guy. And it's funny that we're actually even friends because I'm 20 years older than he is. So
he's about 50.
Fuck you. But he's a brilliant guy. But what I was about to say is that even though he takes that particular stance, he's still very opinionated in his beliefs. You know, he's rather liberal, but, you know, he does have beliefs, and we've had conversations where we've had to agree to disagree.
Right.
But when I see him, it's like when I see you, it's like, what's up? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We sit down and we talk, we laugh, we cut up. And he's cool. I can say, you know, as a matter of fact, I told him, I was like, man, you know what? We're going to be talking about the word nigga. We were at Monterey restaurant, as a matter of fact.
Oh, shit.
And I said, man, we're going to be talking about the word nigga. And he just kind of looked at me with this blank stare.
He turned red?
No, he didn't. He did what you did. He kind of gave me this Q&A. He was like, so what do you want me to say?
Right. What you want me to do? Shit.
Yeah. He was real, real succinct with it. He was like, I don't have anything to contribute on that. So, you know, it was just kind of funny that, you know, that he would take that particular position, especially in the world of 45 right now, where, you know, everybody has an opinion about everything. So. But no, I'm not anti-white person, white people, if you're listening. That is not the case. I am anti-racist. That's what I am.
You know? Agree.
And oh yeah, and
anti-racist.
If there are any racists listening, what I need you to do for me before you go to hell is to continue being racist, but be even more openly racist so I will know who I'm dealing with. Because I hate that covert shit. You know, there ought to be certain rules. Like, you shouldn't be able to be ugly and have a jacked up personality, too. You know what I'm saying? You need to have one or the other. But there also needs to be a rule that says you cannot be racist and be covert with it. If that's your thing,
well,
I mean,
that's what racists do. The fourth stage of White supremacy, as defined by Brother Neely Fuller Jr., is the refined stage. That is a stage that where deception and confusion, they just, you know, instead of wearing the white sheets, right? You don't know who I am.
Right.
I'm shaking your hand. Hey, guess what? I'm cutting your paycheck.
Right.
You know, I'm feeding you.
And that's what I'm saying. No more of the covert shit.
I might be Adam. I'm just saying, just for the sake, Adam, if you're listening, I'm just using that as an example. But
I'm going to get the longest text in the world from Adam when he hears this, man.
You're going to get a nice little email. But
a sternly worded letter.
to me, with speaking of white folks, in this day and age, I think that, or how I receive the word from a white person, is my antennas go straight up, because I know that that word, and I don't know if this is flip-flopping real quick, but this is how I really feel at this moment, is this person is now telling me that he or she is in the position to have be either able and or willing to dominate and control and oppress me at this very moment. If you call me nigger,
that's why you get the visceral reactions, Rich.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, just go on alert. Hey, nigger. Okay, now this very second, sir, you think you're superior to me in some form of fashion. You chose to use that word. I'm protecting my life now. Because we're out here dying. I mean, even from race soldiers who pose as cops.
Right.
They killing us. So
we down of a less.
You know, the George Zimmermans of the world, who walking around, you know, killing black kids and, you know, doing what he, you know, white privilege, period.
Right.
So go on alert, people out there. When you, like, honestly, take it serious enough if you're called that word, because you don't know someone's angle at that very moment. They may have the ability and the willingness to do harm to you, and that should be the line that's drawn in terms of when you hear it, when you receive it. Go on alert. How you deal with it is how you deal with stuff. You want to put someone in a pretzel, you know, you handle your business how you handle your business, but at least go on alert.
You know what, man? We're gonna do our quick, final thoughts on it really quick. But before we get to that, when we talk about reactions, I just want to tell my people out there that if you are not a registered gun owner, you need to be. We need to be more pro Second Amendment outwardly, so these motherfuckers know that we ain't playing. You know, there are numerous black gun groups out there, but we need to be even more visible. Because we dying anyway. You know, what do you hear? Unarmed black man. Unarmed black man. Unarmed black man. Unarmed this. Unarmed that. Man, fuck being unarmed. I'm not saying that, before y'all get this shit twisted up, I'm not saying pull a gun on some cops. That's not what I'm saying.
Be responsible. Yeah.
I said registered gun owners.
Right.
And I know Philando Castile, you know, got registered. I mean,
rest in peace, brother.
I mean, that's some bullshit.
Damn shame, but that's what we live in.
But I'm telling you, ladies in particular, go to the range. Learn to protect yourself. Because, you know, my mother had this saying, God rest her soul. She used to say, trust in the Lord with all your heart, but don't be no goddamn fool. And if you are not exercising your Second Amendment right, you're a goddamn fool. if you're voting for people who are trying to disarm you, you a goddamn fool. Now, like I said, I'm not trying to turn this shit into, you know, so some pro-gun shit. I'm just saying, in regards to what Reg just said, on being on alert, there needs to be a certain amount of preparation as well. You know, single mothers, single women, some of the, you know, baby boomers that have empty nests now where their kids aren't at home or they may live by themselves, you know, widowers, you know, people like that. We need to get trained up because there's a risk there, just like Reg just said. There's a risk there. And we need to be prepared. So before we wrap up, we're just going to propose, we're just going to pose these two questions. Well, one's a statement, one's a question. So Reg, I'm going to let you handle this. Do you think there are any long-term ramifications from this point going forward of its continued use? If we continue singing nigga, any long-term ramifications that you could see? Also, and I think I know your answer to this, should we continue to use it?
I don't think that there is a real true impact negatively against us if we look at it from an individual perspective. So if I use the word, I think that if I know how to use this responsibility, my answer is basically for both questions is this: use words responsibly and know when. It's just like with anything else, you got to know when, where, how. You have to know where you are, what you're doing, and when is best to do something, when is best to say something. Just use it wisely and you'll know from experiences, from repercussions, from consequences, if you know what, I shouldn't have said that in this environment. I should not have said it here to this person. You know what? I may cut it out.
Right.
So I'll leave it with that. But my last real thought is this. Also, I started my presentation piece with some historical things that I've learned. I would like to challenge or encourage, rather, the listeners to, in all things, research, do your own research. There's a lot of words, there's a lot of symbols in our culture, things that we do, whether it doesn't have to go back to ancient Africa, it can go back to 20 years ago, it can go back to the 50s and 60s in this country. Just do some research, listen, and network with people of like-mindedness and their black consciousness, and you'll find out a lot of things, and it may answer some questions that you have for yourself. And so that's what makes me feel more comfortable about the N-word today, with me knowing some things historically, and that may help everyone with anything once they do some research and figure some things out, because a lot has been taken from us.
Appreciate that insight and that perspective. Real quickly, I'm just going to say, I've really already laid out how I feel about the use of it within, you know, certain mediums that we are exposed to constantly. I think that we should eventually taper the use and eventually eliminate it. That's just my thoughts. I don't feel confident that it's going to happen in my lifetime. But I think it's possible. We just have to make an effort to do it. So that gets me to the should we continue to use it question. And simply, it's no. I will add that I'm still conflicted. Because there is a certain comfort level that Reg was talking about in regards to your circle, your family. You know, everybody who I hang around, they say it, you know, black people, you know, and there is a certain comfort level to it, but it doesn't make it right. I still exist in that world, so I know it's hypocritical. I understand that. But those are my thoughts on it. Before we go, I do want to say that in some of our upcoming episodes, we're going to have some quick hitters where I'll be on a solo mission and Reg will be rolling solo dolo, bringing you his insights on whatever he feels you need to be up on culturally. Those are going to be some pretty exciting episodes because they're going to be insightful, in depth. I'm going to be bringing you as much inspiration as I can, you know, just some inspirational thoughts and some encouragement. Because at the end of the day, that's what we're really about. So we're going to wrap it up. And we wholeheartedly appreciate you for taking the time to listen. We appreciate the support that we've had thus far, and we hope that you continue to give it to us. We're working hard to try to bring you the best podcast that we can with the best content that we can, uncensored, unfiltered, but also delivered with a sense of compassion to where you know how we feel about everyone out there listening.
Be good, be safe, and behave, man.
And we out.
I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you. Expression Reds, their curators are cool. The culture and consciousness brought directly to you. Tune in every week for the newest of new and occasional politics as it pertains to you. Divergent point of views make for a whole picture, and we suggest you get your money up and take the shit with you. Ain't no fountain to you, but it's a secret elixir to ensure the black man as a permanent fixture. Standing here in America behind enemy lines, where more often than not my skin's considered a crime. Cops kill us daily and will never do time, while a crooked ass judge decides to fate for mine. One day at a time is what my mama would say. And since mama said living ain't no time to play, and since I got a little game, I'ma give it away. But let's start the show before I get carried away. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you.
You just tuned in to I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It, hosted by Fresh and Reg. Holla back next week.